Welcome back to the Charlotte Angel Connection, the Charlotte area podcast, linking entrepreneurs, investors, and the broader Charlotte community. As you know, our goal here is to interview the individuals who are building, shaping, and influencing entrepreneurship in the Charlotte region so you can stay invested in Charlotte's growth. Today, we are very fortunate to have Matt Pateri with Sunlight Financial. Matt has an extensive background in the banking and lending industries after spending some time with MBNA, Bank of America, Swift Financial, and back again to Bank of America, where he led their home equity loan division over the last couple of years. All of this prepared him to be approached to lead the team and company as CEO of Sunlight Financial 3 years ago. For those of you who don't know, Sunlight Financial provides simple, affordable residential loans. It's a very clean proposition, despite the fact that the cost of solar has dramatically dropped over the last decade. The installation costs are still the number one roadblock to consumers adding solar panels to their house. This is where Sunlight Financial comes in and provides a way for consumers to borrow money at an affordable rate to add solar. To continue on my recent theme over the last couple of podcasts, this will be a two-part interview, but fortunately I planned it this way, so we have a clean break between two segments. In our first segment, we're going to find out more about Matt and Sunlight Financial. In the second segment, I want to explore with Matt the challenges and opportunities of being a startup in Charlotte and why companies like Sunlight Financial and Payzer are having a good deal of success as lending startups and whether or not their success can be replicated here in the Queen City. So I've known about Sunlight Financial for the last year or so. It's great to finally get a chance to sit down and talk with you, Matt. I appreciate it. So Sunlight Financial seems to be a well-kept secret here in Charlotte, despite raising over $900 million, and in the fact that you're growing at a very rapid pace. Let's find out what's behind your success. So first of all, Matt, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm excited. So Matt is from Long Island, leading a solar company here in Charlotte. Why?
Well, William, I've always been really entrepreneurial. You know, as a kid, my dad was a small business owner. I worked at this gas station when I was growing up, washing windows before I was even old enough to pump gas. So I've always had entrepreneurship in my blood. You know, my first job as a kid was selling fruit to my neighbors from my parents' refrigerator. So that business didn't scale well.
Yeah.
But it had a really low overhead and certainly low costs. So I've always wanted to do something entrepreneurial. After college, I went to college at the University of Delaware. After college, I joined MBNA, the monoline card issuer, one of the fastest growing companies in America. And it was a terrific experience. I had the opportunity to help start up MBNA Canada, which was really my first startup. It was a corporate startup, so yeah, a different type of startup. But an opportunity to help build the company. When I joined, there were just a handful of people, and we left. When I left, there were hundreds of people and north of $1 billion in loans. And so it was a terrific experience. On top of that, MBNA was a terrific place to work. The culture was really strong. It was obsessed with the customer. It was obsessed with treating people the right way. In fact, over every door, it said, think of yourself as a customer. Huh. And so we bring a lot of that experience to us at Sunlight. And so the opportunity to do something entrepreneurial was always something that I wanted to do. In 2007, I left, was then Bank of America, to do a small business lending startup. And then in 2010, I got recruited to go back to Bank of America, and I ultimately ran the home equity business for Bank of America. So I've spent time in just about every consumer credit asset class. And when this opportunity presented itself with Sunlight, I love the space, I love the team, I love the way the founders have been thinking about it, and so far so good. It's been a great ride.
So how did the opportunity present itself then, Matt? I mean, so you're leading the home equity division with Bank of America. Were you in New York at that point in time, or where were you?
Yeah, so I was here living in Charlotte. I've lived now in Charlotte 5+ years. After having moved all over the country for a number of jobs. And I was looking to do something more entrepreneurial. I was thinking there were a couple of things I was thinking of starting on my own. I had a couple of other opportunities, and I got introduced to the founders of Sunlight, in the end of 2014, early 2015. And really, the history of Sunlight was it was founded by a private equity firm outside of New York. And the founders had developed a relationship with a leading solar installer, and they were doing solar loans. I'll tell you more about our business in a minute, but they were doing solar loans, and it didn't fit their investment mandate for the private equity firm. And they realized that Sunlight had real value as a platform. And so they decided to put their personal capital in and spin Sunlight out as an independent business and hire a management team.
Okay.
And it fit really well. I left Bank of America in August of 2015 to join as CEO, and we've been off to the races ever since.
So, from a development perspective, as far as Matt goes, what equipped you the most with leading this company moving forward? Was it lending experience in general? Was it the kind of first taste of launching, even though it was a corporate startup, was it the first taste of launching MBNA Canada? Was it, obviously, it's some combination of all of the above, but what shaped you the most as far as a young CEO at this point in time?
Yeah, so I think one thing that I've always been very intentional in my career. I started working in MBNA when I was in college, as a part-time telemarketer and then a collector and then in their fraud group. So I had a number of experiences there before doing the MBNA Canada startup. But I've always been very intentional. I wanted to make sure that I knew all aspects of the business. I knew ultimately I wanted to run a P&L, and I got to do that at Bank of America with the home equity business. And ultimately, that's really similar to being a CEO. You're managing all aspects of the business. And so getting those types of experiences early in my career made me well-rounded. I never thought of myself as a specialist who would do one thing or a subject matter expert. I thought about someone who needed to understand the whole business. I've always also been willing to take reasonable, calculated risks. And so, Canada was a corporate startup, so I wasn't taking huge financial risk,
yeah.
But I was a 23-year-old kid who decided that he was going to move to another country where I knew no one else.
Yeah.
And literally got off the plane on a Sunday night with my bags and knew no one and kind of started fresh.
Yeah.
And the willingness to take some of that type of personal risk prepared me for the risk that you have in a young company.
Yeah. So as you, I think we mentioned earlier, or maybe we didn't, but from our past conversations, you're from New York. Most of the financial backing, I would assume, comes out of New York or San Francisco or Boston or one of your big financial centers. Not that Charlotte's not a big financial center, but why does Sunlight Financial have, other than the fact that you were here when you were leading the presence, why does Sunlight Financial have a presence here in Charlotte at HQ Charlotte? So for reference point, once again, I'm downtown today at HQ Charlotte, Packard Place. So why do you have a presence here? Right?
Why here? Yeah. When I was talking to the founders about the business and agreed to come on as CEO, I was living here in Charlotte for 3+ years, and my wife and I had fallen in love with the city. We are my wife Sina and our two kids are here. We've lived, as I said, all over the country, Canada, Philadelphia, Delaware and LA before moving here, and we've decided that this is where we want to raise our family. And so I was really grounded in this community. I also really believe that this was a great place to do a financial services startup. When I was in LA, I had been looking at a few opportunities, and I concluded it was too expensive and it wasn't the right place to do that type of to do a financial services startup. So,
yeah.
So moving to Charlotte was actually intentional. And once I was here, I knew this was the right place. And so when I talked to the founders about the business, they're in the New York area. But what we talked about and what resonated with them really quickly was it's great to have a strong presence in New York. Access to capital in New York is better than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
So that's important. But as we think about building our operation, as we think about hiring large numbers of people, Charlotte's a great place to do that. There's tons of financial services talent, the cost of living is low, and it's an easy place for us to recruit people to have them move. So for example, our COO is living in Chicago. We got him to relocate from Chicago to Charlotte, and that was an easy conversation. The weather helps,
yeah,
but the city helps too.
Yeah.
And so we've been able to get, and we've had a number of people who have been willing to relocate down to Charlotte. So for all those reasons, we really like having a strong presence here in Charlotte and have our offices up in New York as well on Access Capital. And I personally split time between the two. The convenience of the Charlotte Airport, you hear about that often, of how the Charlotte Airport had a big influence on our city's ability to grow.
Yeah.
I can tell you it's real. I can hop on a plane and, in theory, be in New York in a couple of hours, depending on delays.
Yeah.
But it's convenient. It's super convenient, and that was important. That was part of the reason that we are here.
So, what's your employee footprint here versus New York?
Yes, we have about today a little bit more than half of our team here in Charlotte, and the rest in New York. We've got about 50 people, and we're growing pretty rapidly.
Okay, is Charlotte growing faster now than New York is, or are they both kind of tending, moving along at the same pace?
So they're both growing pretty quickly, but Charlotte will continue to grow a bit faster.
Okay.
By the nature of the type of jobs that we have, and we really like the talent pool here.
How do you see the company growing in Charlotte over the course of the next 3 to 5 years? And in general, how do you see the course of the company growing?
Yeah, so our business, you know, the people that will support our business will be driven by the success of our business. We're really bullish about where we are. We've had great success over the last few years, and we're thrilled by that. We don't take it for granted, but we're thrilled by it. And as we look out over the next couple of years, we feel really confident in the growth and trajectory of this business. And so our presence here in Charlotte will continue to grow in line with that.
Okay. So talk about the business for a little bit. How does the business model work?
Sure. So we're a residential solar finance company. And what that means is we partner with leading installers across the country, and we help their customers, homeowners, go solar. And we save them money by providing them loans to go solar. And so it's not that dissimilar to someone who goes to an auto dealer and decides they want to buy a car, and the customer gets introduced to a finance company, and the finance company does the financing. It's similar in many ways to that type of sale, where we have relationships with many of those installers. The great thing about solar, one of the great things about solar, is by allowing customers to get a loan to go solar. That's a $25,000 purchase.
Mm-hmm.
We give them that loan. Once their system's up and running and they're paying their loan payment, their net payments each month are lower than they were before they went solar.
Okay.
So we literally save customers money by giving them a loan.
So you're saving them money on day one.
Saving them money on day one. We're giving them the increased value in their home. There have been a number of studies that have shown significant home appreciation by going solar. There's obviously environmental benefits by going solar and being off the grid, or using pulling less power off of the grid, and so all of that is really positive.
So essentially, you lend money at a cost that's cheaper than the electricity they're having to use to heat or cool their house.
That's exactly right.
Okay, and having access to good cheap capital allows that to run. So are you profitable at this point?
So you know, we're a young company. And we've seen, we've got line of sight to profitability, and we're really pleased with where we are.
Okay.
If you look at our growth trajectory, for a business to have the trajectory that we've had is remarkable. And to be where we are from a profitability standpoint with that level of growth is also terrific. So we're ahead of where we would otherwise expect to be, and we're really proud of it.
So that means you're in a constant fundraise mode then, right?
Yeah, so if you really boil down what we are, we're a specialty finance company.
Yeah.
And so the way I always describe our businesses, we need to do three things. We need to have relationships with partners to help acquire customers. And we do that by having a great process and great products and great service to our partners and be really focused on our customers. So that's the first thing. The second is we underwrite risk. We're a specialty finance company. We underwrite risk, and we need to get paid appropriately for the risks that we're taking and understand those risks. And then we have to access the capital markets and have diverse sources of funding at low cost. By doing all three of those, we lower the capital cost, and we're able to pass on more savings to our customers.
So Charlotte's background as a banking finance center, helping you understand, having the talent pool to help mm-hmm. you understand and manage that risk is one of the reasons you're here in Charlotte.
That's exactly right. So Charlotte is a great town for us to for credit people and for operations staff and a number of other roles to help us appropriately manage the risk. We have lots of experienced people here.
To poach talent from the big guys in town, right?
We don't call poaching, there are a number of folks that have been really pleased to be able to join our company.
Oh, I bet. So it looks like a fantastic place to work. So why focus on consumers rather than businesses?
Yeah, so consumers have been neglected as it's come to rooftop solar. It historically, utility scale and large commercial products had capital flooding in, but the only way that historically customers would go solar was either through leases or PPAs, where they had to write a check and actually pay cash. And so, for someone who owns their home, it's natural that they want to own what's bolted to their roof. And we're able to provide them that capital, and we can save them money, and it's better than their other options. And so it's an underserved market, and one that we understand really well.
Okay, cool. So what do you do with the loans? And we often hear, we know banks sold off mortgage loans in the 2000s. We know all kinds of other financing arrangements sell off the loans. Do y'all sell them off as well? Do you retain them on your books? Do you package them? How does it end up working?
Yeah, so we have a dual funding model. We are originating high quality loans, and we like those loans, and we'll hold them on our balance sheet. We have a warehouse facility that we've announced publicly with CIT Bank and Silicon Valley Bank that allows us to hold loans on our balance sheet, and we earn income on those just like any other balance sheet lender.
Yeah.
But there are other financial institutions with low cost of capital that also like these assets.
Yeah.
And so we'll also originate on behalf of them. So for instance, we recently announced a $500 million commitment from Technology Credit Union, where we're originating loans on their behalf. And they are actually funding the loans, and we earn a fee on that as well.
Oh.
And so that dual model does a number of things. It's good for us as a company because, again, we want diverse sources of capital. It's important to our partners. And that way, through multiple cycles, sometimes the capital markets go one way or another.
Yep.
Those diverse sources of capital ensure that we'll be there for our partners. Ensures we have low cost, lets us have a wide variety of products. So there are a number of advantages of being really thoughtful about the capital that we have.
Sounds cool. So are there tax benefits to owning loans for solar panels? I mean, we know there's tax credits for installing solar panels. Do you get tax credits for lending out money, or do your partners get it? And then do they sell off those tax credits, or does that not exist in the world?
So with leases and PPA, the way it works is when a system is installed, there's the ITC, the investment tax credit.
Yes.
30% credit for whoever owns the system. And so for a lease and a PPA, the customer doesn't own the system that's on their roof.
Yeah.
Third party owns the system, and there's that 30% tax credit, and those get monetized out in the capital markets.
Yeah, they sell them off.
And from a customer standpoint, someone else is getting that 30% tax credit. They're also earning return on top of it. And so there's some leakage.
Yep.
The great thing about loans is no one else earns a return on your 30%. The customer owns, the homeowner owns the 30% tax credit. And they get that credit. From a Sunlight perspective, we don't have any tax credits. We're providing the customer with a simple way to acquire financing.
So you're an instance, again, customer puts it on their house because they own it, they just borrowed money to finance it, they get the tax credit, you lend money, and your business model continues to be to lend money out, make money the old-fashioned way in a lending process.
That's exactly right.
Do you mind talking about the growth of your loan portfolio over the course of the last couple of years?
Yeah.
I mean, the growth rate is phenomenal.
Yeah, so if you think back a year or two ago, we had a relationship.
So company was started in?
So yeah, I should say company was started in 2014.
Okay.
I joined in August of 2015, and we closed, we publicly announced $300 million in capital in September 2015. A wide variety of types of capital. We closed that, including equity capital, in September. We were live at that point with one partner. We fast forward, and we were doing a couple million dollars a month in loans. If you fast forward to where we are today, we have partnerships with many of the leading installers. and we're funding hundreds of millions of dollars in loans, and we've seen tremendous growth trajectory. Really pleased with that.
What's driving the, what's driving consumers to solar right now?
Yeah, so there are a number of things. One, it saves them money. So it's probably the only loan that you can get where you save money by getting the loan. It's no longer just people who want to have an impact, positive impact on the environment.
Yeah. Well,
it certainly has that, and that's important. It's going mainstream. It makes good financial sense for people to go solar, and that's increasing adoption. We're still really early days though. Less than 1% of residential homes have solar. And so while we've seen good growth, last year the market grew by 20%.
Yeah.
There's a long way for us to go. It's still really early.
Is there, are there places where it makes more sense for consumers versus places where it doesn't?
Sure.
And that's, I would assume that's narrowing as well. That's starting to make more and more sense across the country.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So if you think about what solar is really doing, it's displacing the cost of the utility power. And so where solar is most popular is where utility rates are high. So it's the cost of solar can displace a high cost of the utility electric rate.
Yeah.
And there's great savings. And that tends to be in the Southwest and in the Northeast. Today there are nearly 20 states where solar is economical and it makes good economic sense. And we're seeing more states come in the money every year as utility rates continue to rise and the cost of solar continues to improve.
Okay. So surely North Carolina has to be right there with one of the states where it makes great financial sense?
Unfortunately today for consumers, that's not the case.
Okay. How close is it?
Today it's such that, and let me give you a personal example. So I'm the CEO of a residential solar finance company.
Yep.
I want nothing more than to put solar panels on my roof.
Fair enough.
I have relationships, or Sunlight has relationships with many of the leading installers.
Yeah.
I've asked all of them, please come put panels on my roof,
yeah.
And no one has entered the state.
Okay.
It's shocking that you have a consumer and I've got a room full of people on my team who are all begging for the same thing.
Yeah, I bet.
And we just don't have installers, don't see the market yet. And there are a number of reasons for that, but one is some of the incentives that were in place a couple of years ago have been pulled away.
Yep.
And that really dried up the market. When you look at when states do that, they lose jobs.
Yep.
And so I'll use Nevada as an example. A couple of years ago, Nevada was like the second or third largest state for solar. They made some changes to the way that they treated solar, and they lost thousands of jobs. Over the last couple of weeks, they've announced that they're going to now have more friendly rules to solar again, and all of the major solar installers have announced that they're entering the market, and they've all committed thousands of jobs. It's been a tremendous thing for the market, and these are good paying jobs for middle class Americans. So it's a really positive thing. Here in North Carolina, the incentives got pulled a couple of years ago. The great thing is today there's some legislation that has passed the North Carolina House and is with the Senate, and hopefully it's a great compromise that both the utilities as well as the solar industry have worked on together jointly.
Okay.
It's a really fair compromise. It's good for consumers. There's a number of protections in place and be really positive for the solar market. And so hopefully that passes. I can get my solar panels.
Yeah.
And many others can too. We'll have a lot of great jobs here in North Carolina.
Fair enough. So we were talking about earlier, you've got three segments to the business. In essence, the fourth segment ends up probably to a smaller extent being part lobbyist as well.
It's sometimes, there's a bit of being an evangelist for this business. That's certainly the case. It's nice when we know what we're doing makes a real difference.
Yeah.
We come in every day, we are saving consumers money, we're increasing the value of their home, we're helping to put people to work, we're helping people produce clean energy for the environment. There's really nothing to not like about that.
Yeah.
So that's a good feeling knowing that we have a real purpose and have a real impact.
Oh yeah, definitely. So we talked about it a little bit, and it's publicly available. I'm pretty sure you've raised $900 million in various sources of capital so far. And I don't think I've seen an article about you in the Charlotte Observer or maybe one in the CBJ, but you're definitely not spoken about on a daily basis here in the city. How do you stay under the radar?
Yeah, so they've written a couple, but maybe not as many as you would otherwise expect.
Again, you raised $900 million, you've got 50 employees, growing rapidly in a highly talked about industry. Mm-hmm. Fewer than I would expect. You're exactly right.
I'd say first off, what we're focused on, what we're truly focused on is our partnerships with installers and giving homeowners a great experience and helping them go solar. And so our brand sits behind our installers.
Yeah.
People who spend time with us tell us that we're a really low ego company.
Okay.
It's not about seeing our name in lights. It's about helping our partners be successful, get solar out onto more rooftops, and help customers save money. And so to the extent of which we can help spread that message through the media and through press, we're certainly happy to do that. But what you won't see is Sunlight out there doing those things, because we need that to fuel ourselves. What gives us satisfaction and gets us excited every morning is about giving our customers great experiences, making the process simple to go solar, and really having a big impact.
Okay. The current administration, and I hate talking politics, especially on the podcast, the current administration recently backed out of the Paris Climate Agreement. How does that decision impact Sunlight Financial over the course of the next 4 years or 3 years or however long it effectively takes us to unwind this?
Yeah, so first I'd say we are incredibly bullish about solar in general and about our prospects within solar.
Yeah.
Tell you, we're really disappointed that we as a country have chosen to not take a leadership position on what we think is a critical issue. We've decided instead we're going to lock arms with Syria and Nicaragua.
Yeah.
And Nicaragua didn't sign the agreement because they didn't think it went far enough.
Yeah, okay.
So for those that didn't think it was a fair deal, it's us and Syria locking arms.
Okay.
And that's a really disappointing thing for us to do from a leadership position for a number of reasons. As it relates specifically to our business and solar is something that it's a global issue, but it's implemented locally. And what we've seen in response to us failing to take leadership on the Paris Agreement and exiting or saying they were going to exit it, is that we've seen those in communities and leaders across our country step up and say they will take the lead.
Yeah.
And so in some ways it's galvanizing the effort more than anything else.
Yeah.
I mentioned Nevada, and Nevada has new legislation. Right here in North Carolina, we have new legislation. There have been 15 to 20 leaders, local and state and local leaders who are stepping up to make a real difference.
Okay.
And many of those local incentive plans to help drive more solar and drive clean energy will have a real positive impact on our business.
The incentives have been locally anyways, right? I mean, there hasn't been big federal incentives for solar installation, or has it been both?
So today the investment tax credit is a federal program.
Okay.
But most of the incentives, but aside from that, the incentives are really local incentives. And whether it's retail energy credits up in the Northeast, or it's other state level or utility level incentives, that's really what's been helping to drive a lot of the market. The investment tax credit, interestingly, was passed bipartisan, and it was a jobs bill.
Yeah,
we put people back to work. One thing that people don't realize, or many people may not realize, is today solar employs twice as many people as the coal industry.
Wow, that's impressive.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it really is.
Last year, 1 in 50 new jobs was in the solar industry.
Wow.
And so,
in the energy business in general, or in
broadly across solar.
Oh wow.
So 1 in 50 U.S. jobs was solar.
Okay.
And so it has a real positive impact on our economy, and it's early days. There's a lot more growth. And so states that are thinking forward, thinking about jobs, are realizing that investing in clean energy is a great way to help drive employment in the new economy.
So in a natural sense then, federally we do something, and locally it takes off. So rather than it negatively impacting business going forward, it likely helps drive positive impact for the business as it marches forward from here.
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, I would still like to see some leadership on the federal level.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
But in many ways, it's getting people off the couch at the local level, realizing you can't rely on this administration to try to do the right thing as it relates to energy policy.
Okay, so cool. Well, thanks for your time so far today. I think it was really a good opportunity to take a clean break here. We've talked a lot about Sunlight Financial, a little bit about Matt, how it's all gotten to where it is. We're going to take probably a 10-minute break. We'll step back here in a few minutes, and we'll look at what's it like being a startup in Charlotte, what's it like being a lending startup in Charlotte, and probably explore some more aspects of Sunlight Financial. So thanks for your time so far this morning. We'll circle back around in a few minutes.
Great. Thank you, Owen.
Thanks. William Bissett is an investment advisor representative with Seacrest Blakey & Associates, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Seacrest Blakey & Associates. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Seacrest Blakey & Associates also does not offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance. Investments herein described may be speculative and may involve a substantial risk of loss. Interest may be offered only to persons who qualify as accredited investors under the Securities Act and a qualified purchaser as defined in Section 2A, 51A under the Company Act, or an eligible employee of the management company. There generally is no public market for the interest. Prospective investors should particularly note that many factors affect performance, including changes in market conditions and interest rates, and other economic, political, or financial developments. Past performance is not and should not be construed as indicative of future results.